The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Focusrite have today published their final results for the 18 months ending 28th of February 2026. And I'm joined now by CEO Tim Carroll and CFO Sally McCone to unpack a resilient set of results. Stronger margins, better cash generation and reduced net debt. But also some important questions around growth, tariffs, product investment and a £9.8 million sequential impairment. Tim, Sally, welcome to the show.
Morning, Martin. Thank you for having us again.
Yes, nice to see you again.
So revenue growth was fairly modest, but investors will be pleased to see that profitability moved in the right direction. So I suppose the question is, you know, is the real story the Focusrite is starting to recover margin and operational leverage rather than just chasing growth?
I think that's a good way to describe it. We're certainly looking for growth. It's been a challenging market, I think, for many different businesses out there. But there's still growth out there, and we are finding it in pockets. But I think what's really satisfying is that, yes, the operating profit is coming through, the gross margin's coming through, and that's a lot of really heavy lifting and focus on things like pricing, routes to market, costs, and, you know, and how we bring things to market and stuff. So we're quite proud of those results.
Well, you describe the demand as resilient, but the backdrop is still difficult. So talk us through where you're seeing genuine strength from customers.
Yeah. So, you know, the majority of our business in the content creation side is people who make music at home. You know, they're enthusiasts or, you know, aspiring professionals. And I think one thing that's really interesting is when you typically see things like cost of living, economic pressure and things happen, what seems to result from that is people actually stay at home more. So, you know, they sort of like back off on the big vacation or the large holiday. And so we see, you know, a tendency for people to actually explore their hobbies more and maybe pick up on that type of thing. So I think there's some of that that we're seeing on here. You know, the great thing about our category is in that area is that, you know, it's not a big investment in the scheme of things. And if you can invest in something like that and you're going to be staying at home and you can do something that's either just gratifying for yourself or you can share with friends or whatever, that seems to be very relative these days. And then I think on the live sound part of the business, you know, one thing that's just categorically true, and we've seen this, you know, from going through COVID and everything, people love to go out and experience live events, whether that's the theater, the opera, symphony, festivals, this type of thing. It's a great escape for people, and it's a great way just to connect. And so I think that kind of continues to go on. Yes, festivals and concerts, they're not inexpensive in there. But again, in the scheme of things, when you're looking at all the different things that you could do and how much they, you know, they would cost you or hit your wallet, if you would, a night out hearing some great music is not too bad on the pocketbook.
Now, the new proprietary silicon platform sounds like a strategic step, but can you give us some color on what's behind that? You know, what are the practical benefits for that and why should investors care?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. And it's something that, you know, behind the scenes that we have been investing in and working on for about 4 years. And just to kind of set the stage, you know, there were a couple main reasons that we decided to pursue this. The first off is we were just looking at the future products that we're making and what we think their, you know, abilities need to be. And we were looking at all the different options out there and looking at those roadmaps. And it just dawned on us that we thought that we could probably go out and perhaps do something with our own silicon that was designed for us that could A, last longer, and B, give us sort of a cost advantage on there. So the simplest way to probably put this is, you know, for one of our products, if it would take two off-the-shelf chips from another manufacturer, this new silicon we've developed will probably take one. So there's going to be some cost savings to start coming through. But more importantly than that, to be honest with you, is the fact that, you know, this actually allows us to actually kind of hang our hat on a platform that our development teams can start developing on that are not just going to be working on one product per se, but it's going to allow them to actually develop IP and technology. They'll have multiple uses across lots of different products. And that's been a real challenge for us is, you know, typically we start a product, we bring it to market on there. And then when we start another one, It's kind of a do-over. There's not a lot of rinse and repeat, if you will, that we get out of there just because of the underlying technology and how fast that moves. So having our own silicon and our own platform that we've developed on here is going to allow us to actually accelerate that.
Now, Sally, net debt has come down meaningfully. How much of that improvement is repeatable cash generation, and how much reflects working capital coming back to normal levels?
Yeah, I think there's definitely both factors come into play there. So you'll see, I think in the 12 months to February 26 and the 12 months to February 25, we've seen significant inflows in working capital in both of those periods. And that is absolutely about us unwinding some of the inventory we had to manage the transition of Scarlett. So we had both ranges in the market and we've actively managed that down. But yet at the same time, we've still invested more stock in the US to support audio reproduction. So there's definitely a one-off benefit coming through there of probably about 5 million in this year. But going forward, we're inherently a cash generative business and we wouldn't expect big changes in working capital going forward. So we should definitely still see some positive cash flows coming in as we see that leverage we were talking about earlier.
Sequential has taken another impairment, so investors will want some reassurance here. What still gives you the confidence in the brand, and what needs to change?
Well, I think when you look at it holistically, the market that they're in, which is high-end analog synthesizers, they've been around for 30, 40 years, and they've never really gone out of style. The way I like to describe it, it's the closest thing we have in the music technology industry to like a Fender Stratocaster or a Gibson Les Paul on there. However, the one thing to be clear on is that, when you have expensive products like that and things get tight, it's probably one of the first things people kind of pull away on. This is not something new. We've known this for a while. And one of the big strategies behind Sequential was actually refining what they do and bringing a lot of products to market that have their brand equity and their kind of sound and color that they're well known for, but at a much lower price. And we're about midstream through doing that. We've done a few, and those have been really good proof points to show that, yes, there is a different audience on there that really likes and understands who this brand is and the legacy, and they want to acquire this. They just don't have the money to actually do that at the price points we did. So that is definitely a part that actually gives us a lot of confidence going forward. I think what we've had to do with the impairment, as these things are, they're a moment in time when you have to look at the business. And there was one a piece of the puzzle on here is that because of all the issues going on in the US with tariffs, a large part of the products that we made from Sequential were actually manufactured in the US. And our contract manufacturer gave us notice that they were closing up shop at the end of this year. This was something we were not expecting and has really accelerated us trying to move everything offshores as quick as we can. So I think basically, when you look at that uncertainty on there, it was probably the prudent thing to do. But in terms of the brand and the demand and the equity it has, I think we're quite confident about their future.
Now, you've kept expectations unchanged, and the first quarter, encouragingly, the first quarter is ahead of last year. But with tariffs and consumer confidence, it's still moving around. What are the biggest risks to delivering this year? I mean, what keeps you up at night?
Yeah, tariffs is definitely one of them, and the volatility, because it's not just, the impact on the P&L, it's just that whole distraction from management. Instead of focusing on looking at new products, what are our routes to market, you're suddenly focused on how are we going to manage this, where do we bring stuff into. So a bit of stability is always good, I think, around that, because it just, allows us to focus on the things that matter. So tariffs and US volatility is one. But having said that, at the moment, they've been struck down. So, we're waiting to see what happens with changes in policy and refunds, but they're operating at a lower level, which gives us confidence that we can maintain those gross margins going into this year. And then, for us, I think actually we can talk about the uncertainty going forward, but if we think of all the uncertainty we've managed and been through in the last few years, actually we're kind of looking forward to this year and hoping we're back to normal and managing. And it's just about now getting those products out and delivering them across all the brands, particularly on this new platform. So I think that's the big challenge for us this year, which we're feeling pretty confident about.
Yeah, I think that's spot on, Sally. And I would just add to that that Martin, I think we talked in the past about, the industry data that we have in our categories is not stellar. There's a lot of from the U.S. and some extrapolation, but there are some market data points that we can look at that give us confidence. The first one is the amount of actual music that's being created and published on there and streamed. That continues to go up and is forecasted to continue to do so. And the same thing for live sound. The number of events and what they people expected to go and see and all that is expecting to go up into the right as well. So there's nothing really underlying about our core markets that has given us any real pause on there. And I think when we look at our brands and how well they've done through thick and thin, I think that's what gives us a lot of confidence as well.
So, Focusrite, you're clearly entering a new year with a stronger balance sheet and, a more focused technology platform. And I've just asked you, what keeps you up at night? And I suppose I'd only fear if I ask you, what are you most excited about? What are you looking forward to over the next sort of 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I think, as always, all of our different brands, they're innovation centers. So there's always new and exciting stuff that that we have coming out to market on there. Some of this is product refreshes, some of this is brand new products. And also we're leaning into, just thinking about, how people create music, because that is a constantly evolving thing, and things like AI and how that actually plays into that is something that we're very much involved in and looking at that. So, I mean, we look at the market and, you hear a lot of things about how AI, is it a threat to this or that? We look at it as more of a vehicle for growth. More people will get into it. Professionals, as they always do with technology, will figure out a way to use it and do things like that. So I think when we look at our hardware and our software offerings and what we're doing across that, including in live sound with all the things we're doing with immersive, we're really excited about how people are adopting this and bringing just much, a lot more content, a lot more great music and much better, events and audio to festivals and tours and theaters and all that.
Well, Tim, Sally, thank you both for your time. Exciting times ahead, and I'm really looking forward to the future updates.
Thank you, Martin. Always appreciate your time.
That's great. Thank you so much.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.